Unexpected victories, unexpected glory, but you need to be strengthened by the joy of His honey. You need to be drinking and eating the joy of the Lord in your everyday life so that you can fulfill the fullness of what God wants to do in the coming time. Hallelujah. A similar thing happened with my brother. He had a nasty skin cancer on his hand. He was in Vietnam several years ago, and Emily and I were visiting, and his girlfriend said, "You should get her to pray for your hand. She's got magic." And I said, "Andrew, you know it's not magic." And so Emily and I just prayed in the hotel foyer. And the next day he sent me a photograph where this thing had fallen off and he had pink, perfect skin underneath. And it was the beginning of his journey to knowing the Lord. And then also in April, Andrew gave his heart to the Lord. And now I just keep hearing these wonderful reports. I'm having the privilege of being able to disciple him. It was actually beautiful. Greg and Vicky actually led him to the Lord in April over Zoom, which was amazing. And now my phone calls with him, he's been delivered from drugs. It's just glorious what God's done. But I know that miracles aren't some boutique thing that a few people get to see. It's God's desire that the word is preached, not with persuasive words of men's wisdom, but with demonstrations of the Spirit's power, because it's a manifestation of who He is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no, we've been talking about the power of praise. I'm not going to preach a long time tonight, but I want to just bring you some words of encouragement that I believe the Lord wants to speak to your heart. In Isaiah 60, verse 18, we read this in the second half of that verse. "You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in." He calls us living gateways, and the gates are called praise. We've been talking a little bit about the power of praise, and you know, I used to find it a strange concept, you know, or doing the happy clappy praise thing, telling God how great He is, and like, okay, we do that because we're supposed to do that, but I didn't really get it. I thought, you know, I began to understand worship. Worship is, I can see that. That's a lover's hug. Like it's a little child saying, "Come, daddy, up, pick me up." And as we love him, he comes and loves us back. But I didn't really understand praise, other than, you know, waking everybody up and getting everybody ready for worship. But praise in the scripture, it is described as a gateway. We enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter His courts with praise. There are whole psalms just filled with the praises of God. Shout to the Lord. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. And we praise God not when we're feeling happy. We praise God because it is a powerful gateway into the presence of God, which is in which there is the fullness, the abundance of joy. So when we wake up in the morning, instead of thinking about, oh, how do I feel? How did I sleep? Oh, and deciding how our posture is going to be based on how we feel, we intentionally remember, thank you, God, I am a living gateway, and that gate is called praise. So I'm going to start with praise. Praise you, God, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise the God of my salvation. I declare you King of Kings. And every time I say King of Kings, He is manifesting Himself as King in my circumstances, King in my emotions, King in my thinking, King in my finances, whatever it is, as I praise Him in that way, He is manifesting Himself in that way in my life. So praise the Lord, shout to the Lord, He is worthy of praise. I bless the Lord. As I bless Him, I'm blessed. He manifests Himself with His blessing upon my life. You cannot outgive. Give and it will be given unto you. Bless the Lord. Oh, He says, pray for strength to comprehend the love of God that passes knowledge. I want to fill you to overflowing with all my fullness. I love you, God. I love you. Oh, he says, I want to give you more. Pray for strength. I love you, God. I love you. Ah! And we become overwhelmed and filled with his love. And lift up your heads, O ye gates, praise, that the King of glory may come in. He wants to invade your circumstance. He wants to invade your thinking, your life, your physical body, every situation that you're going through. Lift up your heads. Okay, God, I'm not going to be thinking about myself right now. Why are you downcast soul? Bless God. Hope in God. I'm going to lift up my head. And I'm going to praise you, despite whatever might be going on around me. I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to sing his praises. Come and let us go. Let's worship the Lord. I'll pull out all the oldies when I'm at home because I grew up on scripture and song. So I remembered a lot of scripture through choruses and singing. Anybody else old enough to remember scripture and song? It's powerful. I pray that we get more and more worship and praise songs that are just straight scripture, because it's such a powerful way to remember and a tool for people to be able to use. But as I sing these things to the Lord, as I praise him in the morning, what I'm doing is I'm setting my day up for joy. I love this season because you hear and you see around you joy to the world. That is what Jesus came for. To release joy to our hearts. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And the Bible says that he gives us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. So when you're feeling heavy, discouraged, depressed, weighed down, the answer and the breakthrough that you are looking for and crying out for and needing begins by exchanging it with praise. Not waiting until you're happy to praise. You know, I used to fall into that trap. I'll be happy when this happens with my kids, or I'll be happy when I get that breakthrough, or I'll be happy when. Have you got any thinking like that going on in your brain? Because if you do, it's a trap. There'll always be something else. I'll be happy when my kids are doing well. Well, when they're doing well, I'll be happy when they're married to someone godly. I'll be happy when they have grandchildren. I'll be happy when. It just is a never-ending thing. There's always something else that you're looking for. But if you're delaying joy on circumstances, you're never going to experience the abundant life that God has for you. We exchange heaviness by praise. I'm going to praise him. Like Paul and Silas in the prison where they were beaten unfairly, whipped and beaten, locked in a stinky prison in the bottom of the prison. And they began to sing. They began to praise. They began to worship. And everybody started listening. Then the prison began to shake. All of the chains fell off. The keeper of the prison got saved. His whole family got saved. They got set free. You know, I tell you, when we make a choice that's not based on our circumstances or our feelings, but we will intentionally engage in praise and thanksgiving, we enter into the place where there is an abundance of joy, peace that passes understanding. Joy to the world, peace to his people on earth, goodwill to all men. This is the good news. And it is what God wants you to experience every single day. Not based on how things are going, but based on I get to make a choice to praise him. And as I praise him, I'm going to see who I am praising him manifest in my life. Hallelujah. He's going to lift up my head and we're going to see the breakthrough that God has for us. Hallelujah. And so I just believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to help you in this season become stronger, that He is strengthening His people, that this is a season where I just feel He is filling up the storehouses, that He's replenishing and strengthening us for the next run, that this coming year, I believe there is going to be supernatural acceleration happening for people, supernatural favor, opportunities beyond what you've yet even dared to dream. But it's going to require those who understand how to live sustained by the strength of God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because otherwise we burn out. We don't have the capacity. You know, when Saul was had the Israelites going into battle, and Jonathan and his armor bearer, they began a great victory, and then the army went and they were finishing them off. Saul had made them all fast, and they weren't take a vow, they weren't allowed to eat. And Jonathan didn't know about it. He took a little bit of honey. And then when he found out afterwards that this had been said, he said, that's such a shame, because if they had been eating, they would have had strength to take on an even greater victory. And I believe that God is looking for us to recognize we are going to see unexpected victories, unexpected glory, but you need to be strengthened by the joy of His honey. You need to be drinking and eating the joy of the Lord in your everyday life so that you can fulfill the fullness of what God wants to do in the coming time. Hallelujah. We can be very good at being serious and looking at all the problems. But I believe that there is a childlike joy that God is looking for, because He is releasing dreams that are going to take a childlike thinking to be able to receive. Hallelujah. A childlike faith. I wanted to just read you a psalm. Could I have my iPad there? Praise the Lord. Thank you. And just as I'm reading through some of these amazing psalms, it's so beautiful. I wanted to read you this from Psalm 145. We read earlier the psalm where God is getting us continually to repeat the phrase, His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. And as I think and I look around the room, I look at and I see miracles that God has done. Give me a wave if the Lord has done a miracle in your life this year. Give me a wave. Just amazing. And I look, I see Brooke. I see Brooke there. Brooke had half a womb and one fallopian tube. Came up to a miracle meeting last year. God touched her, and now the scans have shown she has a complete womb and two fallopian tubes. Hallelujah. Before and after doctor's reports. I look around the room and I see people. I think of James, who was told that he had 48 hours left to live, and Jesus came. And now 8 years later, he is still completely cancer-free. Hallelujah. I look and I see people who've had their deaf ears open. And every time I think about it now, as I think about that, I'm reminding myself, and His mercy endures forever. His loyal love endures forever. I go through my I remember when list. Oh God, I remember when. Oh, I remember being in Nigeria this year in August when that lame man got up and did his beautiful African dance after the Lord healed him. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. I think about the woman that was blind, completely blind in both eyes. And I remember as the Lord opened up her eyes and gave her sight, for His mercy endures forever. I think about the mute woman who spoke for the first time, for His mercy endures forever. And as we live a life of praise, as we practice praise, as we rehearse the good things of God, as we intentionally give thanks. You know, you might just start with, thank you, God, that I'm alive today. Thank you, God, that I'm forgiven. And you just start there. You begin to be able to enter into the courts of praise. You can start with, thank you, God, that for the sunshine today. Thank you, God, that I've got food to eat. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your mercy endures forever. As you intentionally embrace a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise, you can't be thinking about the things that are worrying and depressing you at the same time as giving thanks and praise. And you can exchange your heaviness for his praise. I wanted to read this because I love it. Psalm 145. I will extol you, O God, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. That's why I like to go through my I remember when list. Meditate on his wondrous works. Meditate on the breakthroughs. Meditate on the things that he has done. Can you remember something God did for you? Meditate on that. Think on these things. Hallelujah. And I will declare, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness, and they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. All your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Hey, get around people who are going to talk about the power and the glory of God. I avoid conversations that are filled with negativity and you know, whinging and complaining. Sarah and I are on a negativity fast, hallelujah, positivity feast, praise the Lord at the moment, and it's glorious. People come and they want to tell me negative stuff. I'm like, I can't talk about that this month. So I'm on a negativity fast. Come and see me next month. Hopefully they've forgotten by next month. Praise the Lord. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now listen to this. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. He upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. That is good news. If you feel like, well, I'm messed up, the good news of the gospel is he raises up those who fall. If you're feeling bowed down with discouragement or depression, good news is that he raises up all who are bowed down. You can take this scripture and speak it to him. Lord, I thank you that you uphold all who fall. Though the righteous fall seven times, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. You know, the mercy of God endures forever. I think about Peter when he denied Jesus three times with swearing. After being the guy that was like, oh, I'll be with you to the end. I'm your right-hand guy. And he denies Jesus. And he gets all depressed. And then he's off fishing and sees Jesus on the shore. And jumps out of the boat, yeah, fully clothed, to get to Jesus. And the Lord looks at him and he doesn't say, well, look, I'm going to have to put you on probation for a while. But he speaks to him and he just speaks to the call of God on his life to feed the sheep. And he restores him and he makes him breakfast. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter's the one that's the chief spokesperson. Like, you would think maybe he would have picked John. But God upholds those who are bowed down, and he causes those who have fallen to be upheld. You know, when you come to him and go, help God, I made a mess. He doesn't go, yeah, you did. That was really awful. It's going to take me a while to get over that. We sometimes think God is like us. David said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God than the hands of men, because God is kinder than men. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. He does discipline those who he loves. Hey, listen, if you are doing the wrong thing stubbornly and refusing to repent, just repent quick, because discipline is nasty. I don't like discipline. It hurts. Nobody likes discipline. But he is a good, good father, and he disciplines those he loves. Hallelujah. But just give up quick, because he's bigger and stronger and more wonderful than you, and he loves you. And he promises that he doesn't come to hold your sin against you. He comes to uphold those who fall. In fact, he delights to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. If you come and go, oh God, I'm sorry. He's there going, I forgave you. I don't even remember your sins anymore. Hallelujah. That's better news than your reacting. That you, when you come to him in worship feeling like a hypocrite, oh God, who am I? He's there saying, oh, you're so lovely, come here, I love you. He doesn't even remember your sin. He'll make no mention of past sins. He rejoices over you with singing. He runs toward you like the father running to the prodigal son every time you've made a mess. And that's who he is. He upholds those who fall. He runs towards them to put his arm around them, to help them, to pick them up, to release hope into their hearts. Hallelujah. And to those who are downcast, those who are bowed down, oh God, who've been surrounded by lies that have come in and surrounded them like packs of wolves in the middle of the night. You ever had that happen where a thought comes and because you don't deal with it, then it brings all its friends and tries to surround you with hopelessness until you're like, oh, what's the point? Anybody ever been attacked by these ugly ones? They are intruders in the middle of the night, and they don't belong, and you don't have to have them there. But I've found when I have been feeling like I am overwhelmed and surrounded by thoughts like that, I have to get out of bed, and I go intentionally into the living room where people can't hear me, and I begin to praise God. I praise you, Lord, that you are faithful. I praise you, Lord, that you're my Savior. I praise you, Lord, that I fear no evil, for you are with me. I praise you, Lord, that you lift up those who are bowed down. I thank you, Lord. I believe what you say above what I think and what I feel. And as I do that, the lies run away. Hallelujah. Because the truth, the entrance of his word brings light. And in his light, the truth sets us free. Hallelujah. As we speak the truth. And this is the power of praise. I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting to encourage you today. That he upholds all who have fallen. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Have you been feeling a bit surrounded? Have you been feeling a bit under attack from the liars, from the enemy that would try to discourage you? Listen to me. Your thoughts are not higher than his thoughts. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So when you feel like, oh, I'm having these thoughts of doubt, I'm having these thoughts of hopelessness, don't feel like you have to trust them, because your trust isn't in your thoughts or your feelings. Trust, the only safe trust, is built on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the truth. Okay, this is the truth. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. By his stripes I am healed. He is my deliverer. He is my great reward. He is my salvation. He is the hope. He is the one who'll never leave me or forsake me. He is the one who is my ever-present help in time of need. He will never leave me or forsake me. God is for me. Who can be against me? He surrounds me with his favor as with a shield. I can run into him and I am safe. The Lord causes me always to triumph because he is for me. I thank you, Lord. You know the plans you have for me. They're to prosper me, not to harm me. Plans to give me hope and a future. I thank you that your truth is better than my feelings or my thoughts. And as you do it, God will bring the breakthrough. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord is wanting to restore hope to people because he wants you to release the light of the world, release the hope of Jesus to the people around you. Hallelujah. So today, Father, I thank you for hope. I thank you, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus, we bless you. I thank you that you're the one that undoes the knots. Now, there may be people here today that you feel like you've been bound up with cords of hopelessness. I've got great news for you today. He releases those that are bound down, who are bowed down, that he came to set the captives free. The anointing is upon us, hallelujah, to set the captives free. And I believe today that God is unwrapping some grave clothes that have tried to get you into a place of giving up. So Lord, we thank you. We're going to begin to pray for people right now. But as we do that, I want to ask you, as you are here, are you walking in fellowship with God? Now, I know a lot of people believe in God, but believing in God is not the same as following him. Even the devil believes in God. But if you humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to be your follower. I want to receive you as my Savior, the one who sets me free from sin. I want to receive you as my Lord. I want to surrender my life to you and receive your eternal life in exchange. When you make that deliberate choice, when you acknowledge, I am not following Jesus, but I want to, all of heaven sees that and rejoices with you. Hallelujah. So whether you're watching online or here in the room, if you know in your heart you're not walking with him and you say, I want to get my life right with him. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to respond to him as Lord today. If that's you, just lift your hand. Or if you're online and you know I need to get my life right with God, I just want you to write that just honestly in the comments. We'll have someone pray with you. I need to get my life right with God. Father, I thank you for these ones that have just responded to you. Lord, that you lift them up, that you help them. One of the first testimonies I share in my book, Living in the Miraculous, is about a lady who'd come to a meeting with a big pancreatic tumor wrapped around a pancreas. They'd operated but realized there's nothing we can do. She came to the meeting and I went to pray for her and she fell on the floor and said she felt like a hand went into her belly four times. Well, when she went back to the doctor, they discovered that there was no tumor, there was no trace of cancer, and she had a brand new liver. The Lord had restored all the cirrhosis of the liver that she'd been suffering. As a result, her husband got saved, and so many people found hope in Christ. You know, nothing is impossible for those who believe. God wants to use you to see the power of Christ flow through you to heal the sick. Thank you.